They spoke about your arm not being down beside your side. I mean, this is not Irish dancing.
OTB Sports Radio.
Basketball would have been my main game.
The brand new sports radio station from Off the Ball.
That's my point. Don't play for us if you're a proud Englishman.
Now broadcasting 24 hours a day. Live on the Go Loud app. Alexa.
You have a whole new world of possibilities.
Google Home. Tune in. And offtheball.com/radio.
This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network.
You ain't shit.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
My fans can be the harshest critics, you know.
And they often are.
A wife is often the harshest critic of her husband.
I thought I was invincible. That's what you're trained to believe as a sports person.
There was 4 million people in Ireland who knew much more about managing football teams than I did. When it comes to music, I can spoof with the best.
Your sporting career is the best time you'll have, and, you know, you have to hang on to it for as long as your life, because everything else is pretty crappy.
And this is not light. Stephen Rothschild has never spoken to Jimmy McGuinness in his life.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through till 5 o'clock. 53106 is the number for your text messages. We're also streaming live as well now, so you can view us on YouTube, on Facebook, on Periscope, which is on Twitter, and you can listen to us on the Go Loud app. We're delighted to be joined on the Saturday panel to talk about the GAA abroad and how the Irish people are coping in faraway lands during this pandemic by Joan Henchy, the chairperson of the New York County Board, and by Pádraig McGrath, the vice chair of the Asian County Board. By the wonders of modern technology, folks, in the 1980s or 1990s, we would not be able to do this. I think there's 13 hours between you, if my maths is correct. I wasn't too great at school. Joan and Pádraig, good morning and good evening.
Good morning. How are you all?
And good evening. Great to join you.
Joan, to start with you. No, you've been in New York since 1985. You're originally from Tarbert in County Kerry, although I believe you were born in New York. Just, Joan, for example, for you and your family, what is life like on the ground? Forget about GA for the moment. What is life like on the ground in New York during this very worrying and serious time with this pandemic, Joan?
Strange, I suppose, is the fairest word to use. Everything is topsy-turvy. Don't even know if there is a normal, new normal or other kind of normal. It's all very surreal at the moment. You know, work has pretty much come to a complete standstill. As you all know, everybody would refer to New York as the city that never sleeps. But my Lord, is it sleeping at the minute? It's like a ghost town in the city. Up in our area, you know, people are out walking and so on and so forth. But it's just all very, very strange.
Pádraig, generally I get the sense when I read the news that Asian countries, because they've had issues like SARS before, have got a handle on this pandemic maybe better than other countries. Is that the case in Singapore? What is life like in Singapore? Is it as quiet as New York?
It's definitely quieter than New York. Possibly the experience of previous SARS and so on has helped to a certain extent. It's very quiet in Singapore, and they probably thought they had broken the back of the whole thing, but there's been a second wave recently, and we're pretty much in lockdown with only a limited amount of access to go outside, etc., etc. Everyone's pretty worried, as you can imagine, and across the whole region, across the whole of the Asia-Pac region. It's a scary time for everyone.
Joan, you had meant to play Galway last weekend in the championship, I believe. Instead, yeah. You had this launch a 2020 run for the whole of the players and the staff in New York to do a run for raising funds for people in New York that might have been laid off, construction and bars and in restaurants. That seemed to go very well for you.
Yeah, you know, we were trying to figure out. I mean, the lads had done months of training prior, and then, you know, the joke around our house is, you know, great job, girl. You get elected as the first female on an overseas level and I think third female total, and you shut the GAA down like 2.5 months into it. So, you know, so you get very humbled around here. But I mean, we closed down on the 12th of March, and originally that was supposed to be for 2 weeks. And here we are into May and still no closer to starting up. And just thinking about what we could do as a community, and anyone that's been involved in the GAA will tell you, we are a family. We do look after one another. I mean, that's evident throughout the entire world where there's GA clubs, and you know, Ireland led the charge as well, opening up Croke Park. So we were trying to figure out what we could do for this group, and it's made up of five of the largest organizations here in New York, and coming together, rather than have 5 or 10 different GoFundMe pages, we felt maybe pulling together as one unit. So there is where Sláinte 2020 came out of. And just picked up the phone and called Johnny Glynn. God bless that man, but he can move mountains when he wants to. And another man by the name of Johnny McGeaney from Armagh. And the two of them put the heads together and came up with this 1,000K run. Instead of playing Galway, we challenged everybody to support the fund, and they did an outstanding job. I mean, we raised, I think, close to $39,000 for this run, and that went straight into the Sláinte 2020 fund.
Pádraig, when I'm looking at the Asian County Board and the vast geographical area that you have to encompass, I'm looking at Jakarta Dragonflies, Singapore Lions, Saigon Gales, Beijing GAA. How are you supporting the people on the ground? Just even, I suppose, are there games in Asia at the moment at all? We know there's racing, for example, in Japan and Hong Kong. Has everything come to a shutdown there? How are you in touch with the people in a widely spread geographical region?
Very, very wide. Yeah, we're the biggest Asian county board by size. We have with 24 clubs and over 1,000 players across, as you said, great cities like Tokyo and Japan, Beijing and China, et cetera, et cetera, and Jakarta Dragonflies. We took the decision, and obviously we follow very closely the decisions made by Croke Park and the GA in Croke Park. So we cancelled all the tournaments that we had planned for the first half of this year. Traditionally, we would have a competition for North Asia, usually held in one of the China cities. We'd have a competition in South Asia, usually held in Singapore or Bangkok or Kuala Lumpur. So we cancelled all those, and our annual games, which is the Asian Gaelic Games, is scheduled to take place this year in November in Kuala Lumpur. A decision hasn't been made about that yet, but we'll have to make something or make a decision sometime in August. So fingers crossed it can happen, but at this stage, I wouldn't be putting my last few quid in it. In terms of helping with the clubs, we're trying to help all our members as much as possible. There's been virtual fitness challenges, there's been Zoom workouts. The Asian County Board itself is hosting an annual or a weekly trivia night as well. I don't think there's a player in Asia this stage who doesn't know the capital of every country or the length of every river or even the names of all the dual all-stars at this stage. You know, even everyone knows who Ray Cummins is, you know, to be honest with you. I think pub quiz organisers in this part of the world, there's no point in trying to do this afterwards because everyone knows everything at this stage. But as much as possible, we're trying to keep the communications going between all the clubs. And we have different officers based around the place who check in with the officers of the smaller clubs, see how they're doing, make sure that everything is going okay for them. And so far, so good. Lots of difficult challenges, as you can imagine, across all the different countries. And you're right, some sports started up in Korea. They started up their soccer league yesterday and so on. But overall, very difficult challenge, challenging time.
I'm glad that, Perry, you're getting on already in the call because you're from Mayo originally, Pádraig, and Joan, you're from Kerry. And Kerry, you've broken Mayo's hearts a few times, especially in 2014. And also in 1982, Pádraig, your dad, PJ, refereed the infamous five-in-a-row All-Ireland final between Kerry and Offaly, which broke Joan's heart.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. He was the man in the middle on that day. He refereed that final and did many, many other great games as well. And
I wouldn't suggest you say that around Kerry.
I have done on occasion. I'm still here. I'm still alive. But I'm always welcome in Offaly, I believe.
You must have recounted probably before the Stephen Cluxton game, Pádraig. It was the game of the century, really. It was the game of the 20th century, anyway, for Gaelic games. That game, the unbelievable finish and the penalty saved and the way Offaly won it.
Yeah, last minute kind of stuff. I don't think many people will ever forget Micheál O'Hare saying, "Is there a goal in this game?" And then Darby stuck it in the net and he goes, "There was a goal, there was a goal." Kerry had a chance to go down the field and equalise. Tierney Neligal kicked the immediate kick out over the sideline and gave Offaly further momentum. But a cracking game on an occasion when Kerry were heading for the five. And as we know, it's never been done until the Dubs last year inflicted more pain on Mayo through going through that five in a row as well. So, but we live in hope and pray. Green and red, Mayo for Sam 2021. We're always there. We're always trying.
We got Nathan Murphy in here and Kevin Kilbane, really good. They will always believe that Mayo are going to do this. And I remember Nathan saying to me that was almost the journey that was as important as winning or losing. I put a call out, guys, last night about people that have worked abroad and been involved with their GA community and that have got involved in local clubs. And the response was just staggering. I was very surprised by the response. I know when I went to Moscow a couple of years ago for the World Cup, the Moscow Shamrocks were a great club. I'm just going to read out a few of the messages I got here and put them to you. Brenda Flanagan, New York Mayo Ladies, 99. Fermanagh Ladies, New York, 2000 to 2007. Involved with the men's club, Tyrone, New York, also back then. The best people ever. What a community spirit the GAA had in the noughties in New York and still have at New York Ladies GAA. Christopher Bullock, spent my Erasmus year in Toulouse in France, helped form a GAA club from scratch along with a very enthusiastic Frenchman. Definitely enhanced my year there and the club's still going strong. Cork's Jamie Wall, former hurler. When I moved to Cambridge for Rebab in 2016, I was living on my own and not really socialising at all before the Cambridge Parnells football team invited me to join them and train the football team. This year, my sister moved there for college and the club were straight on to help. And Kevin Flynn, been playing with Belgium GA for almost 3 years now. Nothing but brilliant memories. Found out about the club the usual way, going for a pint, being told when training was. Backbone of the Irish community out there, especially now when it's impossible to get home. What's your journey, guys, been like since the 80s and 90s in getting involved in GAA, and how has it progressed for you and for the community there, the GAA fabric?
Well, from a
John,
New York
you
point
first?
Of view, yeah, sure. From a New York point of view, when we came out here, you know, for particularly for men, getting to Gaelic Park on a Sunday for networking, meeting people, getting those connections, opening doors for work, and that's still very evident here. When young men and young women come out, clubs really do wrap their arms around them and take them in and look after them. And, you know, you just get into that entire sense of Irishness. Just it's like a village away from home at times. You know, there's certain pockets here in New York, particularly Woodlawn, McLean, you've got Astoria, Maspeth, very highly populated with Irish. And so it's very much that sense of pride and network that goes on. Everyone just lends a helping hand, and that's not changed in the last 30 years. If anything, it's even more evident now, seeing the community rallying around and helping out, and, you know, just literally anything we can do to help one of our own that may be in financial difficulty or emotional difficulty or whatever it may be. It's not changed. And as a board here, we've been extremely active. And thank God, I suppose, for modern technology that we can do that. So we've been keeping very busy with the players, touch and base, keeping, you know, webinars and coaching courses and trying to stay on top of things. And then ultimately, our email service, the secretary of the county board, Liam Birmingham, has been brilliant, sending out ample emails, updating, giving, you know, links to various areas in New York where, you know, New York State links to help maybe those that may not know where to go for testing or if there's mortgage relief to be got and so on and so forth. So just from an Irish standpoint, I don't think we've changed that much. If anything, I think we might be even a bit tighter. And it's always just a great sense of pride. Everyone just will make that phone call, whether it's, you know, a girl that needs work and you'll pick up the phone and call a bar and see if they're looking for a girl, or it's a construction job or whatever it may be. It's just complete network system here.
And John, in our part of the world, we've got 24 clubs, as I said, with over 1,000 players. We have nationalities from Cambodian, Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese, Taiwanese, Indian, Malay, Singaporean, Filipino, Thai, American, Canadian, Australian, New Zealander, and of course Irish. But the one thing I think that underpins us out here, and that one thing that I've been, since I've been involved in setting up the board with a few colleagues in 2006, is the word Mehel. The Irish word Mehel, for me, underpins all of the GAA since 1884. And it's about communities coming together to help each other and to be with each other. And that's what I'm hoping that the GAA clubs in this part of the world have done apart from bringing non-Irish in, and they come in for various reasons, from being curious about the sports that we offer to being curious about Irish people to wanting the crack, and let's face it, that's important as well. But it's a chance to create little communities all over Asia, and I think that's what we've done. We've done it very well. We're very proud that of our work so far. We're still quite young in terms of the other international jurisdictions, but I think by bringing people together, by giving them a sense of home, a sense of the local GA pitch that we all grew up with, and by encouraging particularly those players who come from Ireland who, one reason or another, didn't play Gaelic football at home or wanted to or were last to get picked on the team, whatever it was, having them come out and get boots and start socialising, it makes it so much easier because in our part of the world, you know, Tokyo to Singapore is a 10-hour flight and Singapore to Melbourne is a 10-hour flight. Big distances, lots of different languages, lots of different people. It's not like being at home. So it's all about the community and the mehel. To me, that underpins it all for me, definitely.
Do you come home, guys, that much? I know it's difficult now with no flights and everything like that. Are you in touch with people back in Ireland a lot more than you would have been?
Well, I left Ireland.
I left Ireland in 1990 and I went for a year and haven't made it back. So technology has changed everything, of course. We're quite fortunate serving on the GA out here that we get to go back to Crow Park and other parts of Ireland a couple of times a year to visit family and to attend conferences. And I work for an Irish company, Taxback, based out of Kilkenny. So that allows me other opportunities to go back and that keeps us all in touch, as well as listening to News Talk and your own show and reading newspapers every day and so on, and having maybe television boxes that allows us to watch stuff live. So absolutely, very much part of my life anyway.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I spend a lot of time at home. It's a bit easier for us to travel from New York, obviously, than from Asia. So I spend quite a bit of time. When I came out here in 85, Ireland was undergoing a ferocious recession at the time. And my dad was like, you're a citizen, go back out, try it for 6 months, see if you like it. Well, I can tell you I didn't like it, but I'm still here. And it's taken, you know, it's taken a hold on you. New York gets under your skin. But yeah, I wouldn't be the person I am if it wasn't for being able to get home and just holding on to everything that's Irish in me. And you just get humbled. People at home just humble you all the time. Just getting home to your neighbours and seeing friends and even seeing people on our road that have gotten older and stuff and still recognise me. And it's no such thing as, John, how long are you home for? It's a case of, great to see you. And it's always just a real good sense and a real good feel. And getting to a local match, and the GA just offers a ton of opportunities for us on a lot of different levels.
Ian Davis is on touch on the tweets. Played for a team in Los Angeles called Culver City Cougars from 2016 to 2018. Club had only been formed a couple of years earlier. 50 members split about 50-50 in terms of Irish and US, with a couple of Italians too. Great times and a great way to socialise in a big city. Karina Gavin, I'm a founding board member and current Cathaoirleach of Manhattan Gaels, former PRO. Can't imagine where I'd be if I didn't get involved in this club. Had met the best of friends who were like family in New York City, honorary club mammy. Ronan Carroll played with Luxembourg GA from 1997 to 2004 and was involved again from 2010 to 17. Also played with Cayman Gaelic and refereed all across the continent of Gaelic Games Europe. Owen Mullen, currently playing with Beijing in China. After moving to Beijing with my girlfriend to try international teaching, we immediately checked if there was a GA club. Only after moving away from home do you realise the power of the organisation to bring people together. Paddy Hennigan played against Cambridge a few times in the Hertfordshire League. Great community spirit among the teams. Everyone's looked after, jobs, accommodation, etc., wasn't taken as seriously at home, which made it far more enjoyable. Joan, when I'm thinking about New York, I'm thinking about pushing Leitrim close the last few years, extra time in the Connacht Championship. Then I see a hammering by Mayo. Is it the case that you get a lot of turnover of players because they're coming in and out of the city?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no disputing that. Our turnover is and has been, you know, quite high, which is something that in the last 5 years we've taken a very serious look at. And ultimately, our goal is to have that home base and have that 5% turnover as opposed to a larger percentage that we've been seeing. So, I mean, we've 40 two clubs at senior level. We've 2,600 children registered at underage outside of that. And the goal was to look at that. And my former chairman, Lawrence McGrath, had been absolutely amazing with me, and he gave me my head. And we sat down, a few of us, and put together a strategic plan with regards to development from 17 to 21, 22. And that's a danger age for us here, because kids are going to college, there's different sports involved, there's scholarships, there's stuff that we just couldn't touch on a financial level, you know, between lacrosse and American football and basketball and you name it here. So we knew the challenges ahead, and we started the development squad program, which has been an absolutely outstanding success. And I have to say, I'm extremely proud of it. And I'm so proud of our young men. And I'm going to refer to them as kids, because they'll be 50 and they'll be still kids to me, because I've just known them since they were small. But we've 64 or 65 at football now, and we've 22 at hurling. And the goal was to identify these young men and introduce them into the senior county setup, which we have done. And Gerry Fox put together a 3-year strategic plan for his term, and it involved these young men. And the goal there is to have a home base team making up these young men, because the talent is there. There's no question. They need the tools. They need the guidance. It's our job, and it's we're obligated to give them what's necessary to make them the best possible player that they can be, and identify that player and try and hold them and give them the opportunities, because, like I said, you know, that the distractions with other sports, and that's a vulnerable age here, going off to college, and they could be all over the country for college. It's not like they're up in Dublin and can be down home in Kerry in 2.5 hours, or, you know, we could be all the way on the opposite side of the map completely. So that's worked extremely well for us, and that's the goal for now. You know, coming up against Mayo and Galway Tier 1 teams are very difficult challenges, but we don't shy away from it. Leitrim, Sligo, Roscommon, we take our chances. We've had really good games against them. We've really good results against them. We're there. We're very, very close. And it's on us to make sure that we produce the best team here involving our home base young men. And that is the ultimate goal. And like I said, I mentioned him earlier, Johnny McGeaney. He's the manager of our development squad. So he's been absolutely outstanding, giving these young men every possible opportunity. And I think it's very evident from the World Games last year. We went home with two native teams, and we wound up playing, we were in two separate divisions, and we wound up meeting in the final. So you couldn't lose. It was a difficult one to stand. I was on the 50-yard line. I was like, all right, I'm staying right smack in the middle here, because, you know, I couldn't take sides on either of the two teams, which was quite fun. But I think it just shows us that we're on the right track, and, you know, it literally is shoulder to the wheel with that.
Pork, you've also been down in Australia recently. So what's the climate down there regarding the pandemic and with GAA?
Gerard Rowe and his team in the Australian Asian County Board have had to cancel everything, and it's gone for the year, unfortunately. A huge playing population across all the states, with all four codes, all different levels, and some very active teams in New Zealand. Unfortunately, everything has been cancelled. They rely a lot on their own state events, state championships, and of course the state championships. The Victorian GA, a newly organised and set up board, is based out of Melbourne, where my own family live. They've come through some difficult challenges in the last couple of years, but it's up and running. There's great commitment and great plans to go and see what's going to happen with the Australian New Zealand side of things, and us in Asia. We work very closely with them. We talk to each other all the time. We try to map and share knowledge and share expertise and run joint courses and so on and so forth. So very healthy place. If anybody was ever moving to Australia or New Zealand, guaranteed you'll find a club. You'll find a welcoming club and lots of very enthusiastic Irish GA people.
How many native people are you trying to get at playing Gaelic games in Asia, Pork?
An interesting one. Our Asian Games, for example, is the culmination of a whole year of activity. On average, everyone spends just over €1,000 to fly somewhere. 200 games take place over 2 days, six pitches, three different divisions, all four codes. Last year, we had 44 nationalities. Let's call it 65 to 70% of those were Irish players. So you have a nice mix of 30%. And what we try to do is, like every international board, we're teamed up with our partner at home, which in our case, very fortunately, is the Connacht Council, from my own perspective, being a Mayo man. And we run different school programs. We currently have South Korean kids, Chinese kids, Malaysian kids, and particularly my own club here in Singapore, lots of Singaporean kids, getting exposure to Gaelic games. Carl Craig is the coaching development officer with the Connacht Council, a good Roscommon man. And with Paul Carpenter and a young fellow townie, Clemores mate of mine, Aaron Costello, beating the drum in Singapore. We now have over 1,000 kids exposed to Gaelic football across different parts of Singapore, which is amazing, right, when you think about it, because a couple of years ago, they didn't know what Ireland was. Now they know what Gaelic football looks like. So we're constantly trying to look at opportunities where we can put Gaelic football in. There are Vietnamese kids playing Gaelic football. There are Thai kids playing Gaelic football. So wherever we can, we're trying to. Resources is always an issue. And obviously this year and next year in particular, there's going to be a massive drain on resources. And we'll see how we can react. But there's always a fight, and there's always a fight in us, and there's another battle that we'll overcome.
We've got to take a break here, folks. Joan Henchy from the New York County Board and Pádraig McGrath from the Asian County Board. Some of your texts and tweets. Dr. Angus Mullins on Twitter: moved to Munich in 2017, randomly woke up after a beer fest with an GA business card in my wallet. Joined the club and I'm now the secretary, a fabulous community spirit all across Europe, not just among Irish immigrants. Real spirit of the GA alive and well outside of Ireland. Richard Butler played for Central Coast in Sydney. We were just talking about Australia a moment ago. We played against Cusacks one Sunday, hurt my knee badly and hobbled off. Went straight on the lock after the match, couldn't walk the next day. Turned out my cruciate ligament was torn. The first of three and never fully recovered. Serious crack though. Elaine Egan, I played football with Eire Óg Oxford. When I moved to Oxford, met friends who became like family. Then moved to London and was lucky to find Croydon Camogie, who also created a home away from home, helping through the hard times, creating some of my best memories. And Offaly's Michael Dignan, the former All-Ireland winner, played with Tom's Hurling in Boston in 1987. A lifetime ago, but what an experience for a 19-year-old. Myself and Dahi Regan grew up very quickly that summer. Great memories and great friends made. 53106 for your texts. Back with the Saturday panel after this.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
And you're very welcome back to the Saturday panel. John Duggan with you through to 5 o'clock. We've got Joan Henchy on the line from New York, the County Board Chair. And we also have Pádraig McGrath from the Asian County Board from Singapore. So New York and Singapore talking to Off the Ball News Talk by the wonders of modern technology this Saturday morning or evening or afternoon in Ireland. Good to have Larry McCarthy elected as president of the GAA. Joan, were you surprised by that?
No, not really. Okay, some will say, you know, it's a bit naive of a statement, or maybe it's just a bit New Yorkish or stuff. But no. Honestly, we had a fairly good feeling that he was doing quite well. I mean, Larry's work ethic and his ability to speak to people and his knowledge and his personality alone resonates with people. He's a straight shooter. He's extremely well spoken, and there's just a very approachable feel to Larry. Ultimately, you know, we knew there was a challenge there and stuff, but I kind of knew it when it was going into the last count, and I was making little notes on the sheet in front of me. And I'm a politician's daughter, so when it comes to tallies and trying to break down votes and stuff, I would have a fairly good knowledge of it. We just had a really good feeling that he could do it. And I think it's really good for the organization. It's change. It's something new, bringing his experiences from running a county board outside of the island. I think had its benefits. And I think there's stuff that he can bring back to the organization. He's very much a grassroots man. Clubs would be something that would be a priority for him. And I just think he has that ability to listen. I just think he has something to bring. And I mean, he's an outstanding individual and he's a phenomenal leader. When he was the chairperson here in New York, he was fantastic. Mind you, we butted heads a few times, needless to say, but yeah, straight up, honest. And I think, you know, mind you, I don't envy what he's going into now based on this pandemic. I mean, it has definitely thrown a spanner into everything that we know within the running of the organizations. And I mean, there's challenges ahead that he would never have foreseen outside of the normal challenges. So, you know, he definitely has that issue going forward, but he'll be surrounded by people all the time. And that's the great thing about the association as a whole. Everybody works with committees and everybody's there to help one another, and we'll get through it, and Croke Park will get through it. And I have no doubt in my mind, Larry will be phenomenal.
Is it the case that still people still rock up to Gaelic Park looking for work?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's always somebody, but you'll see, they're like deers in headlights. And you know the old saying, "You're green." Like, I mean, it's they really are. You'd know it coming in. We laugh when we see the young Irish coming in. It's you'd know they were straight off the plane and stuff. And there's always that one or two that have this very lost look, and you know that they're sourcing work or accommodation and stuff. And then it's just a matter of getting talking to somebody, and it's like, oh, I know a guy that has a room for rent if you want to stay there, or somebody else will know somebody else that'll have a job. And that just works across the board. The clubs are really, really resilient here. They put, you know, lads that are coming out to play with them on sanctions, or somebody who might be transferring into town. The clubs have the resources to pick up the phone and make those calls, and they'll have their homework done ahead of time. So you very rarely have anybody waiting to start work. It's just a really good system that we have here. Like, each club will know, okay, look, I have three lads coming on sanctions. You know that you've got them coming in on a certain date. You know that they're going to need accommodation and a job. And that's usually put, that's usually done ahead of time. And you're ready and you're waiting for them to arrive.
Brendan Hughes played with the Gibraltar Gaels in Gibraltar. It was surreal training and playing official GA inside the British Army barracks on the Rock. But they were extremely accommodating, great fun with a lot mix of Irish and lots of other nationalities. Niall Garrity still abroad playing for Thailand GAA for the last 4 years and coaching them for the last three. I can easily say the most important part of my life out here, though through where I met my closest friends, I can honestly say I probably would not be living here if it wasn't for the GAA. Is there a jobs network big time with you, Pork, in Asia, that you're trying to help people out with jobs and with language barriers and with just getting their heads around the culture, especially in these big cities like Tokyo, where it's really built up, Beijing and Singapore less so, but it's a completely different culture.
Absolutely. And it's good to hear Niall. Niall's a great guy and would be an awfully dual player if he was living at home right now. But Offaly's loss is our gain. Massive challenges coming out to cities like Japan, Singapore, Hong Kong. Very different people, very different culture, very different languages. And the GA Club is at the heart of everything that can be done in terms of Irish people arriving. Where we have sponsors, for example, we have First Derivatives and Currency Fair, Silver Hill, MFE, Kerry Group. Major Irish names, but all with operations out in this part of the world. Employing local people as well as Irish people coming out. And it's not unusual to get a phone call on a fairly regular occasion, to be honest with you, John, to say, hey, we're looking for a couple of people. Can you keep an eye out at home? Or if you know somebody at home who might be interested in this category or that category, boys or girls, let us know. And, for example, I just mentioned one of our sponsors there, MFE, a good friend of mine from County Mayo, Pat Gorham. He runs a farmwork business in Kuala Lumpur. He's got over 1,000 people working for him. And I'm not sure how many at the start were of the main staff or the Irish, but I think there's about 7 or 8 of the local Orang Area Club who are all involved one way or another with his own business now. And they're going from strength to strength. And we see a lot of that in Singapore. Singapore is a huge gap in terms of medical coverage. There's not many physios. And I know that the Singapore government over the last few years have physically gone to Ireland, to Trinity College, UCD, and wherever else their physios are graduating from, have gone in and said, we've got jobs for you. And you literally have 50, 60, 70 young Irish graduates arriving into Singapore. And the first thing they do is find us, find our club, find out what's going on and join up, get some boots and start playing. So always trying to help, always trying to encourage and introduce people and anyone looking to move jobs, move cities, they have a network. It's perfect, you know, so more power to the GAA, more power to the GAA in Asia.
Was it tough, John, missing last weekend? I'd say it's probably like Patrick's Day for you every year, having the Connacht Championship game in Gaelic Park and a full capacity crowd. Probably more of a celebration almost than a game. It was difficult to say to see that go.
Yeah, I mean, look, the day itself is not just about the game. I mean, for, you know, from a county board perspective, yeah, we want to get our players out in the field. But for a community, the diaspora come in from all over the United States into the Gaelic Park. And it's just a really amazing weekend as such. It's just the atmosphere and meeting people. And, you know, there's players whose family have traveled from all over. So, yeah, it was a bit surreal last weekend. I remember Saturday morning doing something else, and my daughter texts me and she goes, we should be packing boxes right now to, you know, for the New York retail stand the next day and loading it into your car. And you should be scrambling to make sure that every single one of the lads had socks and togs and that nobody was missing. So it was weird. And then Sunday itself was absolutely gorgeous here. And I was like, are you kidding me? We got deluged on last year. And this was 72 degrees. And we were sitting in the backyard. And I just didn't know what to do with myself. It's a day that we look forward to all year round. And it's the kickoff to our season, per se. We'd have a league played by now, or most of the league played by now. And then 2 weeks after the championship game, the Connacht game, we'd be heading into our championship for the year. And it's that unknown and that uncertainty right now. And we're very much at the mercy of New York State, the governor, as to whether or not and if we'll get games played this year. So we're none the wiser now than we were when we shut down on May 12th as to what our summer is going to bring. We're hopeful. I think the players would like to get out kicking a ball or pucking a ball. I think they'd like some normalcy at this stage. But again, you know, player safety and the welfare of our patrons and our supporters is primary. And again, you know, we wouldn't be anywhere we are without the sponsors that back us and help us out as well. And Navalis have been amazing to us even now, and we have another sponsor this year, Gotham Drywall. So without them as well, just helping us get through this, we'd be lost.
Joan, just I'm sure people would say that anybody who's there illegally in New York deserves whatever fate they have for breaking the law, but I would say just it's a reality that there are some Irish people out there that are undocumented in New York that may have lost their jobs, that may not have healthcare, well, they won't have healthcare, and they can't come home. Is that a reality you're seeing on the ground?
Yeah, and I would disagree with anyone who says that they deserve that fate. If we had a fair and compromised immigration system here, allowing people to stay, particularly from our region of the world, I would argue that point with them, that, you know, that system's not there. However, it's neither here nor there at the moment. We have quite a large number of undocumented. And I'm going to be very honest and straight up about it, and shame on all of us out here. I had been involved in the immigration for near 30 years, but I think in the last 10 years, the economy has been so good here. Everybody was working. Nobody kind of was needing or wanting. And, you know, and particularly in the last 4 years, that kind of anti-immigrant has kind of seeped in a bit. And don't anybody be under any illusion that we don't fall in under that category. Yes, we do. There is that anti-immigrant here. We lost sight of some of them. And I guess because everybody was working in the economy, again, like I said, was so good, we didn't, you know, realize the extent of it. But we do have the problem. And once the hospitality section shut down and the construction shut down, it was so evident. And it's absolutely heartbreaking. Sláinte 2020 has been founded just for this. And we're self-funding. The Irish government have helped us out, and we're hoping for a little bit more help from them as well. But the people that have been donating, I mean, we're seeing families, we're seeing young girls, we're seeing young men. And fair enough, a lot of the younger Irish can go home. And that's very fair. Yes, they can. Because they can pick up a suitcase and walk out the door and leave it behind if they wanted to. They can go home to mom and dad. They have a house, a home, food on the table, a roof over their head. But it's the families. They can't pick up 20 years of their lives. They can't pick up 25 years of their lives and just go in a suitcase. Where are they going to go? Who are they going to go to? They have a life here. And that's the unfortunate part of where we're at right now. Over 50% of the applications that we're receiving from Sláinte are in the hospitality section. The city's rents are ridiculous, outrageous. Some of these businesses may never reopen again. And that's the harsh reality of what we're dealing with. We think the construction will go back to about 75%. So there's 25% that are going to struggle there. Where are they getting work? So there's, you know, it's not a light switch and say, okay, fine, everybody back to work. It's the trickle down that's going to happen here. And if we're going to have enough work in the next 12 months for everybody, I don't know. And if we don't get something moving here, at least back into the construction side of it, that if that doesn't open up by the 18th, I worry come June 1st where people are going to get their rent and how they're going to survive, because they get no unemployment benefits. Some of these people have tax ID numbers. Some of them are paying taxes and they can't apply. And that's just the way things are.
Yeah.
And it's fearful. And, you know, for me, not just as a leader of what I consider to be the best organization in the entire world, I'm also a mom. And I'm also a neighbor and a friend and a person who lives in my community and is involved in my community, and to see their hardship. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. I have, and I'll admit it, and I don't care what anyone thinks, I've sat here at night and I've cried with listening to some of the stories that I've had to listen to, calling those people who have put in applications for help.
Are you seeing
and
this?
Yeah, I just worry so much for them. You know, I really do.
Yeah, well, it's if you don't have the cover, that's the problem, and you just can't get back on a plane. It's not as simple as that, as you're saying. It maybe it's for younger people. Pork, are you seeing a stark situation with Irish people and employment out in Asia?
Yes, it's been pretty tough in the last couple of weeks. A lot of Irish people have had to go home. I think some of them went home because it made sense to be isolated back in Ireland, where at least you had family and friends and services around you. Obviously, there are some countries in Asia where you're only a temporary resident, and when jobs are lost, you're at the behest of the government. And so a lot have gone back, and that's pretty tough, especially if you've been out here a few years and set up shop and got comfortable and got to know people and so on and so forth. In terms of the general Asia-Pac region, major impact across all sectors. I think it's going to take years to recover, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's a huge tourist destination, for example. It's not unusual to have thousands and thousands of people coming from Ireland, for example, out to this part of the world on holidays. Our own teams, we travel all the time. And in our jobs, we travel all the time, and that's all been stopped. So therefore, with no travel, it means it's hard to do face-to-face. And in particularly, a lot of our clubs rely on the lower cost airlines. And so when you can't get flights and you can't go and meet your other friends in other cities and play your sports, it's going to have a major impact on all the clubs and how they survive. And another big challenge, I think, is going to be around sponsorship, because it's very hard to go and ask somebody for a few quid when they don't have it. And I know they'll feel bad about it, and I feel the exact same myself, but you can't go cap in hand. So I think we're going to have to rethink it. The GAA is going to be very fortunate to have a new leader to follow on from John Horan's excellent leadership with Larry. And Larry is coming from the sports management background, and I think his insights and his knowledge will be very useful. And like a lot of organisations and a lot of sectors, it's going to be major rethink. I'm sure Kevin Caban will tell you the way soccer clubs have ran themselves and soccer leagues have ran themselves and the way rugby across different codes have ran themselves. It's a house of cards across a lot of things. I think we're kind of fortunate maybe that the GAA, being an amateur organisation, has been able to keep a lot of check on that kind of those situations that are emerging and about to happen. So massive challenges, but I think that we'll get through it, but we're going to have to be patient and things will not go back to normal for a while. But we'll get through it, I think, together.
Joan, have you had stories of people contracting coronavirus that are undocumented?
We've had a few. We've been, you know, look, you got to love the Irish. It's say nothing until you hear more. Sometimes some mightn't tell you, but yeah, there's been a few, and I mean, people just, you know, hunkered down and stuff. But nobody that I know on a personal level. We've been very, very lucky, very, very blessed. I went and did the antibody test myself the other day. I'm just waiting the results to see if I have the antibodies. I have not been sick, but looking at the amount of travel and the amount of exposure and the amount of people I had been in contact with from November right through until the shutdown, I had to have come into some contact with somebody. So just for peace of mind, I think I did it. But we're seeing our numbers flatten. We're seeing the numbers drop in our own community. I think people took it very, very serious. People are scared. And that's evident throughout the whole world. Everybody's is terrified of this, and it's the not knowing what actually can happen. And I think when it started out first, I think our younger players may have been a small bit flippant about it. Ah, you're 60 and over are getting it. Nobody our age.
Well, nobody the experience of a pandemic. You know, that's the thing, isn't it? Nobody the experience of it now.
You don't know. Yeah. I think there's a certain. I'll be fine, and you know, and carefree kind of you know, I'm young and healthy and I've got this, I'm fine. And then when you realize, you know, maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks into the shutdown, that this thing does not discriminate, and a perfectly healthy 20 something year old is now in hospital with this virus. And it just changed the entire dynamics. So we got on it straight away because we had actually been informed of one or two of our players who had gotten the virus. Now they had mild symptoms and stuff, but we took it upon ourselves to get that information out without using names. Obviously privacy is a huge issue, and getting the information out fast and furious to let them know and to remind them you're not immune to this, and to take it serious, and you know, don't be silly.
Yeah.
You know, put the mask on. I've said it a couple of times that it takes a pandemic to remind us how important it is to use soap and water, and it's pretty sad that we've gone down that line. You know,
it's actually interesting. It's interesting in our part of the world where the checks and balances have certainly changed things, and experience has changed things. For example, in my own city of Singapore, a couple of months ago, you couldn't go into a building without having your temperature checked. Yeah. And as soon as you came out, you had to sign to say you'd been and what was recorded. In Hong Kong, returning residents have to immediately have a test. If you're positive, you're automatically quarantined for 2 weeks. If you're negative, you still have to put a wristband on to say, I'm negative, and you still have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Lots and lots of different sort of stages and reactions in place and reactions to this pandemic, and maybe it's the conjoined efforts that's going on here. Everyone seems to be able to pull together, and that's possibly because experience of previous SARS, as you mentioned at the start of the program.
Yeah.
We're running out of time here. We've got about 4 minutes left. Look, Joan Henshey and Pádraig McGrath, it's been great to give us your experience of New York and Singapore and talking about what's happening with the pandemic and the great work you're doing for the GAA, which is obviously on hold at the moment. Just a quick one, Joan, the Tier 2 Championship, would you be hopeful of getting into that at some stage?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want in. We think it's important for us to be part of. I think our results in the last couple of years show that we're competitive. You know, we absolutely love the Connacht Championship. We're blessed with the partners we have. We're also twined with Connacht, Cathal Craig, Damien Coleman, John Prenti. I mean, they've been amazing partners to us. But yeah, Tier 2 is very important to us. I think we're not afraid to travel. We, you know, once the travel ban lifts, and like I said earlier in the interview, that our goal here would be to have, you know, at least 90% of our own home base players. Right now, within our own organisation, from our own county team, we don't have the amount of players that are undocumented as we would have seen in years prior. We have a very, very small percentage. So, yes, we can travel and we want to travel and we want to be part of Tier 2. And I think it's incumbent on us to fight for that. That's what our players want. That's what our supporters want. And that's what our sponsors and the entire diaspora of GAA in the United States wants.
And, Pádraig, just quickly, you think this pandemic and the way everybody's trying to cope through it, and there's no plan, there's no roadmap. Well, there's a roadmap, but there's no experience of having this before. I suppose it's only going to strengthen the GAA community abroad.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, 120%. It goes back to that word mehel that's been around and used for since 1884. I think everyone out here is keeping a very close eye on each other. Communication is very strong. Going forward, we will try and support each other as much as possible. And I think it'll come from top down, and possibly even there are lessons that Croke Park might be able to take back from the international units in terms of our experience dealing with different situations in different parts of the world. And I must, John, just to finish up, I must pay a tribute to my own county board out here, to John Allen, Emily, and to Joe Trollen, and all the guys who do great work, to Cormac and the team in Singapore Gaelic Lions. And I'll take a quick opportunity to say hello to my mother, Phil, my sister, Anya, my two brothers, Sean and Seamus, their siblings, and all the lads in the ADWD gang. It's been a real pleasure. And please visit Asia. You're always welcome.
Thanks so much, Pádraig. And Joan, Joan's sister, has been in touch with you, Joan, listening and hearing Kerry. Just want to say well done to her and everybody involved in New York GAA. They've got a fantastic network over there and they do a fantastic job. We're very proud of her.
Can I just do a huge shout out to my dad, Dan Kiley, who's in Ballybunion. I hope he's listening. But it's Daddy's birthday tomorrow. Love and miss you loads, Dad. We'll try and get you on a WhatsApp video to wish him a huge happy birthday. And my sister Eileen, whose birthday just passed, my brother Donal. I have a sister in Lanzarote, my nieces and nephews in Kerry and in Lanzarote as well. Love and miss each and every one. You can't wait to get home to see you and be able to give everybody a hug, which is something I think is going to be really strange for a while. But I would ask anybody that's listening right now, please go on to www.slauncha2020.org and help us help our own people here, please.
Joan O'Pádraig, you've been very decent to give us your time today. Thanks so much for appearing on the Saturday panel. This is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. Back after this with football.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.